You may be seated. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise and glory and honor unto Him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you, isn't God good? All the time, all the time, all the time. We do want to welcome everyone here this morning, and we just pray that something we say or do will just encourage you in your walk with the Lord. I want to apologize to you about, I know the words for He Knows Your Name. We had different words or something, and it didn't correlate with what was playing. And so we do apologize for that, but you could feel the presence of God. And remember, He knows your name. God, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Jesus turns to the Father and says, Joseph, my name. From Kaplan, pastor of Gaydon International Church, Social Security number 433. Driver's license number 38-10201, and all kind of numbers. You know, we know. And can you imagine? He knows your name, and when somebody knows your name, it makes a difference. Huh? You know, you working somewhere or whatever, and they call you, hey. They don't know your name. You know, hey, and you're thinking, are they calling me? You know, and you turn around, and sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. Or they call you whatever you know, profession you're in, whatever you do, they call you by that. But I tell you, it touches your heart when somebody says, hey, Joe, or Joseph, or they call your name. Well, that's the kind of God we serve, that He knows your name. And the Father lets the Son call out our names to Him continually, daily. Calling out our name to Him. And you might say, well, what is he calling out? He's praying for whatever's going on in our lives. Petitioning the Father for us. The great intercessor, Jesus, can you imagine, is seated next to the Father because He accomplished everything He was supposed to accomplish upon the earth. He won victory in every aspect of our lives at the cross. Because that's what the cross says. What? We're forgiven. It is finished. Can you imagine? When Jesus sat next to the Father, He said, Father, it is finished. Oh, we go, oh my God. Yes, it is. That means everything you go through today, everything that happens in your life tomorrow, and everything that's going to go on next month, next year, that the Father has already taken care of it and won victory for you. Can you imagine? That's the kind of God we serve. We don't serve no little peon God that has no power, but we serve the God that has all power, all majesty, all glory, all honor unto Him. Praise God. Praise God. Well, amen. But we do want to welcome you here, and we pray the anointing and the Spirit of God would rest upon you. But we do want to thank you for your giving. We picked up last Sunday $775, so we do want to thank you for your giving to the church, and we certainly do appreciate it, and we thank you for that. Also, a matter of note, don't forget Thursday, Gail and Leonard and people are cooking for at the Civic Center in Gaydon. So if you know somebody around here that needs a plate lunch that day, you might say, well, they don't need food, but they may just need fellowship. They may need to be with somebody. Have them go out there and get some food. If you're able to help them that day, I know they will not. They will surely accept your help in any area that you can help them that day if you're able to go. I know a lot of people aren't able to because they're with their families. Also, a matter of note, also, Wednesday we will not have a Bible study here because it's the day before Thanksgiving, and I know we all need to get ready to eat. And cook, and eat, and eat, and eat, sleep, and eat, sleep, and eat, go back for dessert, sleep, and keep on going. But also, Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, Gaydon is having their community Thanksgiving service. And it's going to be at the First Baptist Church down Main Street here. Right after, is it right before City Hall? Right before City Hall to the right. I know I'm going to be speaking and some other pastors there are going to be speaking. But I want to invite you to come. Come and rub shoulders with other people from other churches. Don't stay home. Come. Now, if you have to work, you know, there's some circumstances, you know. But don't just stay home. Come and bring the presence of God with you. With you. As we gather together to thank our God for the blessings that He's given to us as local, as our local community. And so we do want to welcome you. And it also says in the bulletin now that this is what they asked when we got the letter, is that whoever comes, if you want to bring, is that right, a loaf of bread or some kind of bread and put your name on it. And what I know last year, that's what we did. And we had to bring it to the front, you know, when you got there. And at the end of service, you go and you pick up somebody else's. And what you do is you pray for that person. And you can eat the bread for Thanksgiving or whatever, whenever you want to eat it, you know. On the trip, yeah. The trip home from there to where you live, my God. We'll give you the biggest one. We want to make sure Cindy can sustain herself till she gets home, you know. Oh, Lord. But we love to see you there. I mean, as your pastors, we would love to see you there. You may think, well, you know, that's everybody else, you know, whoever comes. But you don't know what it does to Jelaine and I when we see our people there. It does something to us. It encourages us. It helps us. And so we want to encourage you to come if you can. That's at 6 o'clock Tuesday at the First Baptist Church in the main sanctuary. And there's no eating or food after, you know, besides whatever bread you're bringing home. If you want to eat it before you get home, that's up to you. Now, you see, we might have to because we're driving to Kaplan. That's the different story, you know. but we do want to, we hope that you're able to make it. Amen. Children's church. With the kids, how many? Okay, kids, yeah, okay. Yeah, workers, would you stand in the kids? And then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six, okay, amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray right now, Lord God, for your spirit to be upon the workers and the children, Lord God. Help them to consume your word, Father, and put it deep within their hearts and deep within their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I thought you were standing up to go to children's church. I thought, well, okay. Amen, amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's good to come to church, to feel the presence of God, to know He's alive, and to have a good time. But we do know Thursday is Thanksgiving. Thursday is Thanksgiving, and that is a day that as a country, America, that we have set aside as a whole, you know, to say thank you. And not to say thank you for us, you know, but to say thank you to our God. There's only three countries that I know of, looking up things, that celebrate some kind of thanksgiving to Jehovah God, our God. That's America, United States, Canada, and the Philippines. When I read that, I was excited that we were in the group, but my heart sank to think of how many other countries never at least take one day to acknowledge the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And maybe we should wonder why maybe we're in the shambles we're in. You know, the whole world itself, because of not acknowledging or reverencing our God and our Lord and our Savior. Now, we know it was, you know, president that that established Thanksgiving in 1789. And so we do want to thank him for bringing that towards Congress. They voted on it and it passed through. And so at least, you know, we can come together on Thursday thanking God for the many blessings of food, peace, joy, help, our jobs, you know, the things that we have, and just thanking him. And a lot of times on Thanksgiving, it might be the only day that somebody even says a blessing. You know, I know for most of us, that's commonplace. I mean, you know, when we sit with we have a meal, we bow our heads, we thank the Lord. But a lot of times when families come together on Thanksgiving, you know, whenever day it is, you know, that sometimes that's the only time that they will actually maybe bow their heads, hold their hands, maybe, and thank God for what he's given them. You see, it says that our eyes should ever be towards him. And when our eyes get off of him, that's when we run into trouble. Like the last song that we sang, it says, you know, Lord, help us to keep our eyes upon you. Because we know when our eyes are upon him, that we can't get in trouble. Now, that doesn't mean that trouble won't come. It seems like we'll have more trouble as a Christian than we had before. But that's okay. Because you see, you and I are the arch enemies of Slewfoot himself. And what he tries to do is bring destruction in whatever way that he can towards the people of God. And he will do whatever he can to bring destruction of some kind upon us. Because we know what the scripture says, that he comes what? To steal. Remember, he wants to steal everything from you. He wants to kill you, steal, kill, and destroy you and I. That's his goal for God's church. But that's not God's goal for his church. And we know that our God has already won victory and has given us the victory. And so we got to keep our faith, our trust in him and what he did at Calvary's cross, no matter what's going on, because our God is in control. We might say, well, isn't Slewfoot in control? No, he's not in control. He thinks he's in control, but he's not in control. Our God is in control. Our God is in control. So we can thank our God for what he's done at Calvary's cross. We can thank our God for giving salvation to us. We can thank our God for giving us victory in every aspect of our lives, even though we may not see it at the moment. Because I know there are things in your life, everybody's lives as Christians, that hold people in bondage. I know that. But you see, we serve a God that has broken the bondage. We serve a God. You and I serve a God that laid himself upon Calvary's cross, which I should have been there. Which you should have been there. But he laid himself as a sacrifice for us, taking the place of penalty for the sins that we have committed and would commit. And he said, I'll pay the price. And so all we got to do is look to him with faith, saying, Lord, you are going to take care of those things. You are going to, and one day deliverance will come. It will manifest itself in your life as you keep your faith in him. There's no amount of praying you can do. There's no amount of fasting you can do. There's no amount of reading the Word of God, which we need to do all those things. We need to do them. That's a part of us wanting God. But those things alone will not deliver us from the things that are holding us in bondage. What will deliver us has already been done. And that's the cross of Calvary. And I'm not talking about that wooden beam, that thing that's... What I'm saying is what happened on the cross. When Jesus died upon Calvary's cross and brought the blood, the sinless perfection of His blood, a man that lived 33 years without sin at all, brought that blood to the Father, and the Father took it and said, "This is payment. This is it. Paid in full." Now, all we got to do is put our faith in it, the cross of Calvary. And Jesus leashes out the anointing and the presence of God upon our lives. And victory comes, not in what we do, but in who we know and what we accept at Calvary's cross. But we do want to thank Him. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endureth forever. The scripture on the bulletin. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, thanking Him for what He's done. I want you to turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. I'm going to talk today just a little bit about God being an on-time God. God, your Savior, your Lord, being an on-time God. Even when we think He's too late. He's an on-time God no matter what. Look at John 11 starting with verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Verse 2, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, talking about Lazarus, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. So here we see, as you turn to John chapter 11, verse 39, here we see Mary and Martha. And we see Lazarus. Now we know Lazarus, Mary, and Martha had a great relationship with Jesus. I mean, they just did. They must have spent a lot of time together to build a relationship. Mary and Martha sent someone to go and tell Jesus that Lazarus was sick. And they knew it wasn't good. They could tell. They knew something. It wasn't just a little cold. It doesn't say, you know, what exactly, you know, his sickness was or what was going on for sure. But we know it wasn't just a little thing. It was something big. Something big. And they sent someone to go and tell Jesus. And Jesus answers them back and He says this. Look at verse 3 again. It says, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, "The Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified." And verse 6, and when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, Jesus heard and he loves these people. I mean, there's something that happened. You know, think of someone you love dearly. Your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, a friend, your pastors. Say yes. Amen. God, oh man. Your pastors? Oh, good. Your pastors? Amen. Oh, Lord, it's getting, your pastors? Ooh, it's getting good. We love you too, guys. We really do. We love you. When you love somebody, things that affect them affect you. It hurts on the inside. When you know someone's going through a hard time, it affects you. Because you are moved with a part of your heart towards them. And you want to fix it. You want to do something. You know, it could be, you know, when they're going through maybe a financial bind and you just saying, Lord, you pray and you say, Lord, what can we do? And sometimes, you know, the Lord will say this or that or whatever. Or are they going through a sickness, maybe cancer or something, and you saying, Lord, it hurts you. It hurts on the inside. Because you know that if God doesn't heal them miraculously or through medicine, that they will go. They will leave from here. They will be in heaven, but they will leave us, and it hurts. And so, you know, we are moved with compassion, thank God, like Jesus. But Jesus, when he heard the news, he stayed 2 more days in the other place. If we just read that, we're kind of thinking, well, he knew something was going on. But Jesus said something in Scripture that just really astounded me. And he said this. Look at verse 4. When they got to him and told him, he said this. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Now, this is what the Greek, this is actually what it should have said. You know, when they translated. When Jesus heard that, he said, he shall not fall prey to death. Man. So, but Mary and Martha and his family didn't know that. That Lazarus, that Jesus knew that Lazarus would not fall prey to death. Jesus had something he had to finish. He stayed 2 more days. 2 more days. And we're thinking, you know, people could read that and say, well, you know, did he really care about him? Yes, he did. Very, very much so. But we also know this, that our God and your God is an on-time God. That it may look like we're losing it all. It may look like things are not well. It may look like things are falling apart. It may look like our health is gone. It may look like we're going to lose it all. Including our minds sometimes. But God says he is an on-time God. And he will come through when it's time to come through. Because you see, his ways are beyond our ways. And we're going to read that scripture. His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. We don't think like God. And you know what? This may shock you. We can't tell God what to do. You know, there's a movement going on that says if you quote enough scriptures, you can make God move. You can't make God do anything. Well, if I give $100, he's going to bless me with $100,000. You can't make God do anything. Now, we believe his word and we stand upon his word. And we know his word is true. But as human beings, we can't make God do something. What's that? It's already written. You know, when they sent for Jesus, you know what Mary and Martha wanted Jesus to do? To drop everything and run to them. Amen. So, you know what that means, amen? So be it. So be it. They expected him to drop everything and run to them and to pray over him and heal him. We expect God to be like McDonald's sometimes. or Burger King, any of those fast food places. We drive up, we order, and look, when we drive up, they better have somebody there to take our order. How dare they make us wait 10 seconds? We tell them our order. It comes out on the screen. We get to the next window. We pay for it. We get to the next window, and it better be right. Some of us check it before we leave. That's okay. I understand. But just because we live in that kind of society doesn't mean our God is like that. Now, He can do things instantly. He's the great God Jehovah. He spoke the worlds into being. He spoke it. He spoke everything into being. But He made man with His hands. That's a sermon right there. We can't expect God to do things instantly all the time. Because if He did everything instantly, our faith wouldn't be strong in Him. What He's trying to do, when things come our way, and we know it can only come our way if He allows it to come our way, because He's our God. Sometimes we bring things upon our own selves. But still, it has to be allowed by God. When it comes our way, He is in control. He takes care of those things. And He sometimes will let us go through things so that we will build our faith in Him. To believe Him next year for a great and mighty move of God of what He wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. To believe Him for the supernatural. To believe that He can do anything and everything, no matter what. To believe Him. To stand upon Him and His Word and to know that it is truth. Saying, Lord, You can do it, Father. And it says in John chapter 11, look at verse, let's start verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews, now that's when He was coming, and also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in His spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have You laid Him? They said unto Him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus wept over this man. Jesus wept over him. Verse 36, then said the Jews, Behold how He loved him. Verse 37, and some of them said, Come not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Verse 37, you know what they're doing? They're making fun of your God. That makes me upset. Because I know each and every one of us has gone through all kinds of things and what God has done for us. How many times has God stopped you from getting in a car accident? How many times God has stopped you, you know, and protected your home from it catching on fire? How many times have you been laid off or fired or whatever and God supplied another job for you? How many times has God amply supplied money and help and peace and joy? What they were saying, some people around, well, look, He's opened the eyes of the blind. He's healed the lame. But look, He can't come in time enough to heal the one He supposedly loves. Mocking your God, mocking my God and saying evil about Him. Saying evil about Him. Verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in Himself came to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead for 4 days. Now, I'm sure he smelled bad. You know, because they didn't do things like we do today, you know, taking all the blood out and all that stuff, embalming. And so he had been in there 4 days. 4 days. How do you think Mary and Martha felt? Put yourself in their shoes. That Lazarus has died. And they're feeling, okay, let me get this straight. They're feeling like Jesus does not care. They're feeling like Jesus does not care. But is it truth? No. Is it truth? No. So anytime we go through things and we feel like we're in a cave, we feel like we're in a tomb, we feel like we're dying on the inside, does that mean that he does not care? No. But does the devil want us to feel that way? Yes. He wants you to feel that no one cares about you and I. He wants us to feel like the world does not care about us, that other people, Christians, don't care about you, that your pastors don't care about you. He wants you to make you to feel that even your family doesn't care about you. He wants you to lose your faith in God. And when we lose our faith in God, what comes up? Evil, destruction, because we have no one to protect us. What God does is build our faith. What the devil does is trying to destroy it. 4 days in that tomb. 4 days. Them thinking, I thought he was in a calm. Their expectations of Jesus are beyond what they should expect. Sometimes we put our faith in people. And we expect certain things from people. God says, don't ever put your faith in someone. Ever. Don't ever put your faith in this church. Don't ever put your faith in someone else here or even your pastors. Never. Now that doesn't mean you don't go for help or not that. But your faith should always be in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And even when it feels like destruction, even when it feels like the walls are caving in on you, even when it feels like you don't know what to do tomorrow because you just can't handle it, remember this, your God and my God is an on-time God. That he will come through when he wants to come through. Because he knows what is best for us. He knows what we go through. He knows what comes against us. But as the scripture says, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So we can't think like God. Except we read in scripture. But you see, he knows what we need. He knows what we need to go through to build that faith in him. Because he's always on time, even when we think we're late. Even when we think he's late. Look at verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. Sometimes we just stink, huh? Our attitude stinks. We could strangle a few people each day. You know, I know. You could strangle a few customers, you know. You could just, you know. And then you pray for them after. That's what you do. Verse 40. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto you that if you would believe, you shall see the glory of God? Remember, the glory of God's coming. Every time we go into a tomb, every time we go to dying of self, the glory of God is about to be expounded upon our lives like never before. It says that we go from glory to glory. We go from glory to glory. This is the power of God. You might say the glory of God is the power of God, the anointing of God, the presence of God each time. Yes, you may struggle at times. Keep your faith in Him, but the glory is about to come. The glory is about to come. The glory is about to come. Your glory is coming. Just keep your faith in Him. Look. Then, verse 40, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. And I know that You hear Me always. But because of the people which stand by, I say it. Talk about lack of faith. They that may believe that You have sent Me. And when He thus had spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And He said, and he who was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths. And His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Even in a great miracle, can you imagine, like that, still some people won't believe. My God. Jesus said, roll that stone away. Mary said, look, He's been dead 4 days. 4 days, 4 days. He said, roll it away. She said, He stinks. I understand. He said, you know, basically, He knows. Roll that stone away. And Jesus looked in to that tomb and said, Lazarus, and He hollered it. It says, you know, with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And we know many things about that. If He would have said, not by name, all of them would have came forth. We know all that. Yeah, because there's power. There's power. But He said, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what? He didn't have to say it 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. He didn't have to repeat Himself. He just said, Lazarus, come forth. And the body of Lazarus and his spirit came back. The power of God. And he walks out of that tomb, yes, with all kind of grave clothes on, napkin across his face and all kinds of things, like a ghost almost. But he walked out of that place and the glory of God was revealed to the people. You might say, why did Jesus wait? Maybe to build their faith? Maybe to let the people that didn't believe that He was Lord, because some of them now said, I believe, for the glory of God to be revealed. Why does Jesus wait? Sometimes Jesus will wait. Oh, you need to get this. Sometimes Jesus will wait to give your miracle so that He can give, so that He can express Himself or show Himself to unbelievers in your family. Sometimes Jesus will wait to give your miracle to you, so that your family could see the power of God. If those people wouldn't, if Lazarus wouldn't have died, those people that were there, some of them wouldn't have believed that Jesus was Lord, that He is the King. Now some still left and went to the Pharisees and said, oh, look what He's done, you know, didn't believe. But you see, sometimes God will wait to give you a miracle, to show your family what He can do. Because when they know the trouble you're going through, and they know that there's no other way out, and you've tried everything in the book, and one day the power of God comes upon you and changes your life, look, their eyes are wide open, and they're saying, I know what he or she was, but I know also what their God can do. We once were bound, by grave clothes, but now we have been set free by the power and the anointing and the presence of God. Look what God can do. But you see, if God did things, now He can, and sometimes He does, if He did things instantly in your life all the time, sometimes your family and my family could not see what God can do. So sometimes it's for the glory of God. Well, all the time it's for the glory of God, but sometimes it's for other people to see, to build their faith, so that they can see God move and know. Because you see, as their faith is built up, they can believe. They can believe. They can believe. Your God can do it. It's your God that opened that Red Sea. It's not Baal. It's no other God that people try to raise up in this world. But it's your God that has set you free. It is your God that wants to set you free. It's your God that has given you liberty and freedom. It's your God that can open that Red Sea and let you walk on dry ground to the other side of victory. It's your God that can take the walls of Jericho that were two chariots could ride upon it, which is probably as big as all these rows together, maybe even a little further, all around that city. And God's people are looking at that city saying, what can we do? And they look to their God and God says, I'll tell you what to do. Walk around that city. He was saying, shut up. And just walk around it and see what I'm going to do. The great deliverance of your God. Look, some of you are in a place where God wants to deliver you. Step on over to the other side. Step on over to the other side. You might say, what do I have to do? Put your faith in Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross. And I'm telling you, those shackles will fall off.
Amen.
Just like, let me tell you, just like Egypt, when they held the Israelites in prison for hundreds of years, made them do every dirty work, building their temples, waiting on them hand and foot, cleaning their floors. The mighty God Jehovah. All He had to do was send a few pestilence. It's amazing, huh? You know, God delivered these Israelites without one arrow or one shot or anything being done. None of that. No sword. That's the kind of God we serve. That He can take the Egyptians. He can take the Egyptians in your life, which are things that are over you, that are causing you some problems. They're hindering you from becoming what God wants you to be. And you shashad them too long. Huh? Because sometimes we like these things. Huh? Sometimes we like to cuddle it up a little bit. Sometimes we like them. But I tell you what, those things, and I'm not going to name anything because we all know what they are. And whatever's in your life, you need to get rid of that stuff. You need to get rid of that stuff. You might say, Pastor, how do I do it? Well, thank you for asking. Thank you. There's only one way to overcome sin of any kind. One way. One way. There's not 10 different ways. There's only one door, and the door is Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross. When He died on that cross, He became the source of all victory for His people. Can you imagine? Jesus is your source. You might say, well, Pastor, what do I do? If you have a problem in whatever area, that's what the Holy Spirit likes. Because He's saying, now I'm going to clean up my children. Because what He's trying to do is make us into the image of the Father through His Son Jesus. So what do we have to do? We have to put our faith not in anything we can do. The Bible, we love the Bible. We love it. We need to read it. We need to read it. But that Bible will not bring deliverance. You might say, oh. It will encourage. It will do a mighty work on the inside. Yes. And it will build up. But there's only one thing that brought victory, and that was the cross of Calvary and the blood of Jesus, what He did. He is the source of victory. You might say, Pastor, what do I need to do? You get up and you say, Lord, I put my faith in Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross. And Lord God, you see this thing, and you can name it if you want it, won't you? Lord, help me. And what you're saying is, Father, everything I've tried to do, I know will not help me be successful in overcoming this thing. Now I'm turning to You. And we know, as we trust in Him, that victory will come. You might say, well, Pastor, will it happen in one day? It could, because God's all powerful. But it might take a week or two. But you keep putting your faith. Every time you say, well, Pastor, I'm going to put my faith and I'm going to still fail, that's okay. But you put it in the right direction. And when you put it in the right direction, one day you're going to hit the bullseye. Because the bullseye is Calvary's cross. And when you hit that bullseye and the power of God comes over you and changes your life and makes you into what He wants you to be, He will take those things, those shackles on your hands and feet and all of us, and break those bondages. Break it. Break it by the power of Almighty God. That's the kind of God we serve. You might say, well, look, let me put it to you this way. When Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. The first time he went, did he say, yeah, go? Didn't happen, huh? It got worse. Anytime you try to dethrone the enemy from any aspect of your life, and you're saying, Lord, I want You to be number one in everything, sometimes it takes a little while. Not that God can't do it. That's not the situation. It's because of the claws of what the enemy has in our hearts. And it takes God to, because we can't take it sometimes. Almighty God, the power and His presence to be pulled out continuously upon us. As human beings, we can't take it. Our mortal bodies can't. So the power of God starts to work, and He takes the claws of the enemy, whatever situation it is, and He just takes the crowbar of the Holy Spirit and starts to take the hands off of the enemy. So much so that instead of the claws of the enemy upon our hearts, our hands are raised towards Him. And freedom comes. It wasn't till the end, and I'm about to close. It wasn't till the end, Moshe. It wasn't till the end when they said, you take the blood and you put it on the doorposts, and the death angel will come in. For a long time, I thought it was only Jewish people that were saved. A lot of them were. But it was anybody that obeyed and put the blood on the doorpost, which represented the blood of Jesus. You might have had Egyptians in that house, and they were saved from that situation. Y'all hear my granddaughter? She's preaching. Praise God. Preaching. It may take 10 or 11 times till finally the claws of the enemy comes off. But it will happen. Because our God, your God, has more power in the tip of His little pinky than what old Slewfoot has in all the world. And it will break. It will break the anger, the bitterness, the strife, and all the other junk. It's taken us a while to get into this mess, And sometimes it takes a while for God to get us out of it, even though the price has been paid. But keep your faith in Him and Him alone, because He is an on-time God. It may look like death, but God comes and gives life. That's just like us. We seem like we're dying. And God wants us to die to self, huh? Man, we want our way. We get angry when we're driving. We get angry when we're ordering food. We get angry when we're home. Lord, we're just angry. Whatever. All kinds of stuff. We're all over the place. But God comes in just as He did Paul and softened the heart of a man. Soften the heart of a woman, and the power of God comes in. You might say, what can God do? God can take a man or a woman like us, like He did Paul, who was not one of the 12 disciples. Remind you of that. Paul. God changed his name from Saul to Paul, and he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Praise God. Put your faith in Him and Him alone, and you're going to see the power of God in your life. It may take a little while because it took the claws of Egypt's hands to be broken off. But let me tell you this, you're not fighting. It's the Spirit of God's job to fight and to win the battle. It's already won, but to see the evidence of it in our lives. Amen. You may stand, please. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise and glory and honor unto you, Lord. Get that song ready always. Again, we're going to play that at the end of the service. Let's raise our hands towards heaven. Lord Jesus. Father, melt the hearts of your people. Father, melt my heart, Lord God. Melt the hearts of your people, Lord. Jesus. If you don't know Jesus today, and you'd like to accept Him as your Lord and Savior this morning, let me know. Look at me or whatever, because I know people's hands are raised, and so I just want to make sure. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise. Let's all say this prayer together. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept you into my heart and into my life. That you would lead me and you would guide me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I tell you, I appreciate you guys. And as you can start the song, as we sing this song, I want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy it. Eat a lot. Sleep a lot. But always thank God for the blessings that He's given us. We appreciate you guys. We love you. And we thank God for you. Amen. Go ahead.